Manpower Minister Yasirly reaffirmed Indonesia's commitment to addressing global and regional employment challenges through strategic and inclusive efforts of the Asia-Pacific region. During the forum, Yasirly also expressed Indonesia's appreciation for the solidarity shown by ASPAC member countries towards Palestine and voiced support for the continuation of the ILO's efforts in the region. The Ministry of Health has expressed optimism about the free health checks program covering 100 million people this year. Given the current pace of the program and its scheduled rollout in schools in August, at a press conference on Thursday, Director General of Primary and Community Health, Maria Endang Sumiwi, said that in the last month, 200,000 people have participated in the program per day. Further, around 50 million school children will be reached once the CKG program is rolled out in schools, which could likely take the total number of participants to 100 million, she explained. And that was the news. Voice listeners, still here with me, Ray, in Indonesia today. And for those of you who are currently tuning in, of course, you can always tune in to us in three types of settings. There's online streaming in voinews.id, shortwave in 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Also, our application in RRI Digital for those of you love watching on demand. And so without any further ado, let's continue with a song from Payung Teduh untuk perempuan yang sedang dalam perlukan, or for the women who are in embrace.
Thank you. terasa gelap berjatuh. Di ujung malam menuju pagi yang dingin, hanya ada sedikit bintang malam ini. Mungkin karena kau sedang cantik-cantiknya. Lalu mataku merasa malu, semakin dalam ia malu kali ini. Kadang juga ia takut, tatkala harus berpapasan di tengah pelariannya di malam hari. Lalu mataku merasa malu, semakin dalam ia malu kali ini. Kadang juga ia takut, tatkala harus berpapasan di tengah pelariannya di malam hari.
Voice of Indonesia.
Kasalami is a unique and typical food from Southeast Sulawesi, specifically in Buton, Muna, and Wakatobi areas. Kasalami is generally shaped like a tumpeng or cone and is yellowish white. Cassava, which is widely grown in the Sulawesi archipelago, is the main ingredient of kasalami. Firstly, the cassava is washed, peeled, and shredded or milled using a machine. Then the grated cassava is put in a sack or cloth to be compacted. This compaction is to remove water content by being crushed or peeled.
Kabarkan berita, membuka cakrawala. Semua bertaut udara di gelombang semesta. Kita Indonesia, sesungguhnya langit aspirasi bangsa. Kita Indonesia, sesungguhnya kita hadir bagi dunia. Kita Indonesia. Gaya, budaya, alam khatulistiwa. Kita kabarkan berita, membuka aspirasi bangsa. Kita Indonesia, sesungguhnya kita hadir bagi dunia. Kita Indonesia, sesungguhnya langit aspirasi bangsa. Kita Indonesia, sesungguhnya kita hadir.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Hello, Voice listener, and every year. Countries around the world celebrate World Blood Donor Day. The event serves to raise awareness of the need for safe blood and blood products and to thank voluntarily unpaid blood donors for their life-saving gifts of blood. Raising the theme, Give Blood, Give Hope, Together We Save Lives. To know more about this, let's have a conversation with Head of Blood Donor Unit of Indonesian Red Cross, Dr. Ruby Nur Aditya. I'm Ray and this is Voi Talk. Hello, Dr. Ruby. How are you today?
Hello, Voice of Indonesia. I'm fine and very good in this Friday. Yeah. Thank you.
So what are your time for the weekend, Doctor?
Yeah.
Yes, okay, sure. Without any further ado, let's begin today's interview. So why the theme Give Blood, Give Hope, Together We Save Lives is taken for this year Blood Donor Day?
Yeah, as we know that the theme of Give Blood, Give Hope, Together We Save Lives. So it means that for the blood donation, it is the acting of giving some hope for the people that fighting for their lives. So I think some patient undergoing surgery and then trauma for accident and then cancer patients or mothers with childbirth complication, I think they have need more get some hope for get blood donation for the transfusion for their therapy. So this is emphasize of solidarity. When we donate together, we can create stronger and more resilient health system and help save lives. So we can have some benefit for the other people that need for blood transfusion.
Okay, but since many people giving blood donation like every day in every month, is a blood donor actually healthy for the people who are donating blood?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Donor is a good activity. It can be healthy for people that donate blood. That regular blood donation can offer health benefits such as stimulating production of new blood cells, and then helping maintain healthy iron levels. So, and then some of blood donor give some emotional positive well-being. So they can have some sense of purpose and feel psychological can help the other people. So I think the benefit for the blood donation is many. So before donating, but the important thing is before donating, every donor also receive a basic health checkup. So they can examine for the blood pressure, and then check for the blood typing, and then after that the blood will check for the potential health issue early. So I think this is the benefit of the blood donation regularly.
Okay, so what are the things that we need to do before we give or we donate our blood? Is there specific things that we need to do? Do we have to be healthy before giving our blood to the people in need?
Yeah, sure. Before donation, we must have in a good or health condition. So in health condition, I think it's not on not fit condition. Yeah, we must have a minimum requirement for the blood donation. For example, is the blood weight, the body weight, minimum 45 kilogram. And then, so before donation, we have some good relax or sleep last night. So and then before donation, we have enough food and drinking before. So I think we must prepare for blood donation in good and health condition. Yeah.
Okay, so what kind of event does the Indonesian Red Cross will have to increase the numbers of donors today?
So for the blood donation campaign national, we have some activity like mass blood drive at malls, public spaces, and government buildings. And then we have some activity for the appreciation events for regular donor, like donor 5 times, 10 times, or 25 times, or 50 times. We give them some appreciation for blood donor that already have a number that reach many times. So, and then we have some education and outreach programs on the social media. And then collaboration with influencers, community organization, and youth groups to encourage first-time donor.
Okay, so when will the event start?
Yeah, so tomorrow is 14 June 2025. Will be nationally starting. We in Jakarta, we have a collaboration with the Jakarta Blood Center. We have some ceremonial for the appreciation for the blood donor in the office of Mayor West Jakarta, 25 times, 50 times, and then 75 times. So the Jakarta Blood Center will give them appreciation and encourage them to become a more regular blood donor. So I think this is starting in the Jakarta, when the others city, like in Surabaya and then in Semarang, Bandung, there's so many activity to celebrate the 14 June about the blood donation day.
Okay, so from my knowledge, the one who usually give blood donation is from the people of age like 20 until 25 years of age. Is there a possible reason if you are above that age that I've just mentioned is okay to keep donating blood?
Yeah, actually, the minimum requirement for the age is 17. Because 17, you have already some ID card that you are can legally as a citizen, so you can blood donor starting from the 17 age, and then the maximum age is 60 or 65. It depends on the health condition of the donor. But if you regularly already like 50 or more than 75, and then the age of 70, you can doing blood donation because you're already in health condition for the requirement.
I see. So I would like to ask you, and what kind of blood type that are currently most needed by the patient, especially across Indonesia?
Yeah, majority in Indonesia, the blood type is O. Yeah, types O. So how about you? Yeah, O or other. Yeah. So majority the blood types in Indonesia is O and A. O and A. But the most rare is AB. So AB is the blood type that is, the number is very low. So that's the majority in Indonesia. Especially AB in negative. Majority in Indonesia is AO and positive types, but sometimes the patient needs in the negative type. Yeah, AB or O are negative. But majority in Indonesia is positive type for the donation. So we commonly needed the blood types for the surgery and transfusion. So we monitor the demand and the shortage. Sometimes the blood types is very low in some condition, like in fasting month on Ramadan during Lebaran. So we monitor about the blood stock. So we hope we can fulfill the demand in the hospital.
Okay, it's I'm going to ask you, since my blood type is AB positive, so like, what I know is that AB blood type is can accept any type of blood, and since O is the one that can give their type to any other blood type, is it true that the facts is like that?
Yeah, that's the theory that AB is a recipient universal. Yeah, it can get from the other types AB, and then O is donor universal. But it is in emergency condition, in some specific condition, the transfusion should be must be on the same type. So O with O, and then A with A, B with B, so AB and with AB. So the best result we give them in the same type. Yeah, it's more safe. But if we don't have any challenge or maybe some special conditions, yeah, we can give the AB for the recipient universal, and then type O for the donor universal.
Okay, so we learn about unique facts of a listener about the blood type from Dr. Robbie.
Yeah.
So, Dr. Robbie, since blood is a really important necessity for a human being, how many blood supply does the Indonesian Red Cross need in a month?
So, last year we have in a year 2024 we have more than 4.8 million donation. So I think per month we can get around 400,000 blood bags in nationally. So but depends on the need of in some country, WHO have some requirement that you should have minimum 2% from the population. Minimum 2% population. So if Indonesia have 270,000 the population, we should have a minimum is around 5 million donation a year. So we still need more donation because last year only 4.8 totally with the blood component. So we need more donation to get to reach the target is more than 5 million donation a year. Yeah. So I think a month we need around for more than 400 or 450,000 bags donation monthly.
Okay, that's a lot actually. But how long does usually a blood stay? I mean, can be used for giving to other patient? How long does it last?
Yeah. Blood have expired too. So the time for the expiry is for blood is 1 month. Yeah, 1 month. So if we take the blood today in 13 June, so the blood will be have some expired date in 16 of July next month. So so that we run with the demand from hospital. So before this expired, we must make sure that this blood is using in hospital, so not to become expired before using. So it's for the safety of the transfusion. So if get expired, we discharge this blood and cannot use for the donation for the transfusion. Yeah.
Okay, I see. So how can the blood from the Red Cross Indonesia be distributed to like hospitals in Indonesia?
We have some agreement with hospital about the need from the hospital. How many blood that we should send to the hospital every week or every day, so we can fulfill the requirement or the need for the patient in hospital. So after donation, we collect the blood in one day, and then we send it to the hospital based on the MOU or the cooperation with the hospital. Maybe sometimes the hospital want to send every 2 days or 3 days based on their need for the patient or hospital. So maybe like for example, hospital need 50 bags every 3 days. Okay, we send it to hospital, 50 bags. The type is ABOAB. And then we do it regularly every 3 days based on the need of the hospital.
Okay, so for the final question, what is your messages for the people who want to donor their blood, especially in this World Blood Donor Day 2025?
Yeah, some people is still worry about the needle. Yeah, but don't worry. Donating blood is a simple act of kindness. Yeah, we can save other lives of people. It takes less than an hour, just 15 or 20 minutes, but the impact can have a lifetime for someone else. So give blood, give hope. Because together we can save lives. Or be hero, donate today and inspire others to do the same. Yeah. I hope we can go to donate blood regularly. Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much, Dr. Robinur Aditya, for your time here. And Voi listener, the life-changing impact of blood donors have on those in need and celebrates the power of community and solidarity in saving lives through this simple act of giving blood are the main goals of the World Blood Donor Day. Who knows? You might be able to help someone you know, or maybe the one who are truly in need. And donor your blood today. And thank you so much, Voi listener, for accompanying me and Dr. Robin this amazing interview in about the World Donor Day only on Voice of Indonesia. And I'll see you in another episode.
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, as Gempol Pleret is one of the legendary Solo culinary delights, because there are not many traders selling this culinary anymore. But you don't have to worry if you are already in Solo and want to taste this traditional culinary. Although it is a popular culinary delicacy in Solo, in certain places there are still traders selling this as Gempol Pleret, such as in the Gede Market, Lawayan Market, and in the Manahan Field. Call as Gempol Pleret is beverage because of its refreshing presentation, but there are also those who call it food because it is filling when enjoyed. The basic ingredients of this typical beverage are rice flour and glutinous rice flour. To make as Gempol Pleret, we have to soak rice flour first, then it is shaped into small balls like meatballs, and then steamed. Therefore, some people call gempol as rice meatball because it is round, made of rice, and its white color. According to the story, gempol comes from the word jempol because it uses the fingers. Pleret is also made from rice flour, which is made into dough and then formed into thin sheets resembling wonton. Afterwards, it is also steamed until cooked. Finally, for presentation, in a medium-sized bowl, the gempol pleret is aided with coconut milk, which is made from thin coconut milk and sugar. You can add shaved ice or ice cubes that are broken into small pieces. As a variation, you can also add pieces of jackfruit or green sticky rice tapi. For one bowl of escampole pleret, you only need to pay 5,000 rupiahs. It is quite affordable, isn't it?
Ribuan hari aku menunggumu, jutaan lagu tercipta untukmu. Apakah kau akan terus begini? Masih adakah celah di hatimu yang masih bisa kutuk singgahi? Cobalah aku kapan engkau mau. Maka kesejukan yang kau rasa. Coba keluar di terik siang, ingatlah bintang yang kau sapa. Maka kehangatan yang kau rasa.
your eyes, open your mind. Feel the warmth, see the smiles. Kindness and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand and dance with me. A nation with a soul, a symphony of sights and sounds. Across a beautiful nature, look from the colors of paradise.
Listener, if you visit Ambon, it's incomplete without tasting ikan asar galala, the most iconic culinary in Ambon, Maluku. It is called ikan asar galala because it has been known since ancient times that Galala village is a fish hunter. The basic ingredients of ikan asar are generally cakalang fish, yellowtail fish, or mackerel tuna fish, as long as the fish's texture is dense so that it is not brittle when smoked. Ikan asar is a smoked fish. This is smoked differently and uniquely. In general, the fish is smoked horizontally, but ikan asar is placed diagonally on the side of the embers that produce smoke to make the fish completely dry and fully cooked. The cooking process is quite simple. After cleaning the entrails, the fish is skewered with bamboo and ready to be smoked on the stove. The smoking takes about 4 until 5 hours and is done in a closed room so that the smoke soaks into the meat until it is completely cooked. Listener, ikan asar has an extraordinary taste because the smoked fish is savory and the aroma is so appetizing. Ikan asar is very appropriate to be enjoyed with warm rice and sambal colo-colo, a typical Maluku sauce made from shallots, chilies, basil, and key lime.
Bersamamu.
of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Rupert Island is a quite large island and covers an area of 1,500 square kilometers. Rupert Island has many attractive panoramas and natural charms. Tourists who come can find views of a small river that flows calmly to a large river that divides the island. The view of the white sandy beach can spoil and captivate the tourists who visit it. Rupert Island is one of the big islands in Bengkalis Regency, Riau Province. It is even larger than the island of Bengkalis, which is the central of government for Bengkalis Regency. The location of Rupert Island is directly adjacent to two of Indonesia's closest neighbors, namely Singapore and Malaysia. Even the lip of the beach is also directly adjacent to the Malacca Strait. Rupert Island is an actively populated island, so there are no opening and closing hours. The island is open 24 hours. The entrance tickets to Rupert Island vary depending on what tourism attraction you are going to visit. If only to enter Rupert Island, there are no costs besides boat tickets for transportation. As an island that is intended to be a tourism destination, several facilities have been built on this island, such as restaurants and inns. To get to Rupert Island, you have to cross by boat known as Roro Ship or Roll-on Roll-off. The crossing fee is 100,000 rupiah per car and 6,500 rupiah per person. The crossing time is around 30 until 45 minutes. Listener, to attract tourists, the Rupert Beach Festival is usually held in October. This is an annual agenda for Bengkalis Regency. In the festival, there are a number of competitions that are participated in by the local community, such as parade of ornamental canoes, kites, pillow fights, beheading boat races, and many more.
My name is Valerie Reyes. I come from the Philippines. It's a different type of invention found in Indonesia. And yeah, I heard it was originally claimed by Malaysia, but then it was found out that it was originally from Indonesia. And then I think it was announced by UNESCO just, I think, 2 years ago. It was recent.
That was the atmosphere in an Angklung musical training followed by participants of the Indonesian Arts and Culture Scholarship Program at Saung Angklung Ujo, West Java. Angklung is a bamboo musical instrument typical of West Java. And as was expressed by Valerie, a participant from the Philippines, the musical instrument is originated from Indonesia's cultural wisdoms, which has been declared by UNESCO as World Cultural Heritage. However, though born of local wisdom, no one can explain when angklung was first created. A lecturer at the Indonesian Karawitan Art College, Yon Sutiono, said,
"Kalau yang namanya musik bambu itu kalau kita yang kenal sekarang ya seperti angklung. Kalau di Jawa Barat memang yang lebih ini itu yang jenisnya angklung ya, alatnya digetar ya, bukan tidak tergolong alat perkusi atau dipukul ya. Nah itulah barangkali memang ya kapan mulai dibuat, ya saya sendiri nggak tahu itu kapan ya.
Karena the bambi music that we know today is angklung. It is known in West Java. The instrument is played by shaking or striking it and not by beating or tapping it like percussion. When it was first made it, I do not know. What is clear is that we could find it when there were traditional rituals or ceremonies. For example, in Bogor there was angklung gubrak and in Banten angklung seret. It was all media for traditional ceremonies, which in essence was for tasakuran or thanksgiving to the Lord or even a repellent of bad spirits. Now, however, it is not to ward off bad spirits anymore, but to repel pests.
Formerly, angklung was used as part of ritual among the people. Then, as time went on, angklung became a folk entertainment. How could this happen? Dayeng Oktaviani Ujo, an angklung artist from Saung Angklung Ujo, has an explanation.
Awalnya nggak ada nadanya, Pak. Bukan selendro pelo. Awalnya itu angklung itu hanya musik ritmis, jeringjung, 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 jeringjung. Itu dipergunakan untuk.
Initially there was no tone, no salendro nor pelog. Originally angklung was just rhythmic music, jenggon jreng gon jreng. It was used by Badui tribe as tribute to the goddess Dewi Sri during the harvest. Don jreng don jreng don jreng, so there was no tune. But then the outside Baduis created dami lalati dacuns, who they used as a means to beg. Then Mr. Dayeng Sutikna was interested in it. He was a teacher, a music teacher, and a scout instructor. Mr. Dayeng tried to find out how could this musical instrument be taught in schools. When he saw the beggar, he thought this could be translated into do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, si, do. Then he tried to do it and offered to teach this in school. He was rejected. Why? Because at that time, only rich people could go to school, and they did not want to play beggar music. Finally, he decided to teach it to Boy Scouts. When they played angklung so beautifully, the schools then became interested. At last, angklung went to school. So the one who translated the traditional tunes into do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, si, do is Mr. Dayeng. Why did he do that? Because at that time, schools were in need of musical instruments. That's the main reason. Then, when it became interesting, angklung then was turned into music for entertainment.
Erik, very nice. It's the second time. We went here last year and it was last year, it was so nice. We want to see it again. So, second time, it was very nice.
Perfect. I've been here for the seventh time and I've been seven times here. When it's not nice, I don't come back.
Those were the comments of two foreign tourists after watching the show at Saung Angklung Ujo. They were amazed with the music because angklung has a special attraction, as expressed by Dayeng Oktaviani Ujo.
Angklung ini merupakan suatu senjata yang sangat luar biasa. Ya, kita harus tahu, dan saya menyadari setelah saya keluar negeri ratusan kali, itu saya menyadari bahwa kita ini punya senjata yang sangat luar biasa. Dulu dalam sejarah, Belanda kocar-kacir.
Angklung is an incredible weapon. Yes, we should know that. I realized after I had been abroad hundreds of times. Once in history, the Dutch colonial troops were terrorized by sharp bamboo spears. Not because they were more deadly than grenades or bullets, no. But the spirit of these bamboo spears made the people came and work together, helping each other to fight the Dutch. That made the Dutch troops scared. Angklung, as you can see, has made everybody swept away. Everyone was involved and resulted in harmony. So when I visit other countries, a lot of people feel close to Indonesia, how they feel in harmony with Indonesia.
The harmony and familiar feeling with Indonesia have been well perceived by participants of the Indonesian Arts and Culture Scholarship 2012, Heydar from Azerbaijan and George from Nauru. Thanks to the scholarship, they have been given the opportunity to learn the art and culture of Indonesia, especially angklung music at Saung Angklung Ujo, Bandung. Initially, when they first saw the angklung music performance, they were so amazed. How could some pieces of bamboo produce such beautiful music, which ultimately has made them feel familiar and love Indonesia?
Nama saya Heidar. Saya berasal dari Azerbaijan. Ya, suka. Saya semakin suka Indonesia. Ini aneh.
My name is Heidar. I come from Azerbaijan. Yes, I love it. I'm getting more and more in love with Indonesia. This is extraordinary for me since this is the first time I see a musical instrument made of bamboo. It is very unique and I really want to learn angklung. In my opinion, angklung is not difficult if you really want to learn. I think I can. Yes, I can play angklung.
My name is George Kwajine. I'm from Nauru. Well, the first time I didn't know that bamboo can make music from it. But now I can, like, you know, realize that bamboo can make of many of things, like can build house, making music and everything. But the first I was like so surprised that they make music from this bamboo, like angklung. Yeah, I also like, yeah, maybe this is the first time I can pass the music class, yeah. Very easy. Back home, I have to, like, if I want to teach angklung, maybe I need to buy this equipment to go back to Nauru and teach them how to play angklung. Because in Nauru, we don't have bamboo, we don't have much bamboo.
More and more people are interested in learning angklung music, including foreigners. This is a logical consequence, especially after UNESCO designated angklung as masterpiece of oral and intangible heritage of humanity.